But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show. It is great to be along with you. We have Mark Mitchell, who scored 19 points for Mizzou yesterday in a win over Vanderbilt. He will be joining us here momentarily with some exciting news about a new product that is going to be on your shelves with his face and his profile. And I can't wait to tear into this bag. That's a little teaser as to what's to come. First, we have some work to do, and that is NFL picks.
And a key block by the left guard, Tom Ackerman. And right here, let's go downstairs to Bonnie.
Marv, if you remember that big run Robert Holcomb had on the first drive, one of the guys responsible on help busting him loose was Tom Ackerman.
Tom Ackerman up front, and this is a unit that has played very well. A good night for Eddie George. 21 carries, 74 yards. The left guard, Tom Ackerman, with the block that set him free. It's a first down.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to our NFL picks. Now, some folks who are watching us on YouTube have told us that they cannot hear when I play audio from this computer. We are aware of that issue, and we have addressed that with our IT department. Our engineers are all over it. That would include, I'm assuming, that open that I just played with Tennessee Titans offensive lineman Tom Ackerman, as well as the entire press conference clips from City, the press conference from Jim Montgomery. So we're sorry for our users who are watching online. That would include X, Facebook, YouTube. A lot of people are starting to consume this via video. I can see there are like 800 people watching right now. So we appreciate that very much. For those of you on radio, you were able to get it. All right, now you're going to get my picks. Let me start, before I do the picks, tell you about something that I've been playing with recently, and I actually do commercials for them on Total Information AM, but I might as well bring it up now since we're talking about, you know, action. And that would be the Underdog app. Underdog app's cool. So I'm tracking right now my four picks starting at noon. Do I have anyone in that first game? I do. I have Josh Allen going higher than 1.5 passing touchdowns. He's going to have two, isn't he? He's going to go over 1.5, isn't he? So I got Josh Allen. This is in my group of four. Saquon Barkley, higher than 0.5 rushing or receiving touchdowns. That's a slam dunk. He's going to score today. Jordan Love, Packers quarterback, higher than 217.5 passing yards. I think he will be able to throw against this Eagles secondary. And then Josh Jacobs, I have him higher than 0.5 rushing plus receiving touchdowns. He's the running back for the Packers. I think I've got this one, but we'll see. I'm also doing a flex on this one, so I don't need all four to happen. I need three to happen, and I can still get money back, actually win a little bit of money if I get three out of four. If I get four, I'm going to be doing very well today. This is really easy to play. It's called the Underdog app. Use promo code Tom, and you're going to be playing along. Even if you're not even a sports fan, it makes sports, I think, more watchable for some people to be able to play Underdog Fantasy along with it. So I'm just, you know, anything more than just having a little fun. I'd do it if I were you. Underdog. Okay, here are our picks. Noon game today, Broncos at Bills. Interesting because I think the Broncos team has a lot of promise. I think they will be really good in the coming years with Sean Payton. In fact, I think they're about a year ahead of schedule. I thought that Payton would get them back to the playoffs. First time since 2015. Payton is a tremendous coach, and he does very well with quarterbacks. He had Drew Brees for a number of years. Now he has Bo Nix, and he won a Super Bowl with the Saints. And I think he's going to have this Broncos team playing well for the coming years, but not this day. You know, Denver's a good team, not good enough to topple Buffalo. In fact, I do not have them covering the spread either. Spread 7.5. Hate the half point, but I'm going to do it anyway. Bills minus 7.5. They cover today against the Denver Broncos at home. Nobody's stopping them. Not yet, anyway. Green Bay at Philadelphia. So this is a matchup of two excellent running backs, Saquon Barkley, and on the other side, Josh Jacobs. Barkley ran for over 2,000 yards. Jacobs tough, man. He moves the chains. He's really good. And Barkley kind of paved the way for the running game to be a factor again in the NFL. People love to copy, and they are copying the Eagles in how they manufacture first downs via the run game. The ground game is really good. But the Eagles have a bit of an issue in that their secondary is not great, and I think that Jordan Love can pick them apart if they decide to go through the air. We'll see. On the other side, the Packers have to get in the backfield and get Jalen Hurts hurried. They have to. They're not a great pass rush team. If they do that, I think they'll win the game. I think they will win the game in what will be a high-scoring affair. And I'm going to take the Packers plus +5 at Philadelphia. Packers are good. The knock on them is they can't beat a great team. Today's going to be the day. Packers plus +5. Washington at Tampa Bay. So the Bucs are a 2.5-point favorite at home. That should tell you something. They're at home, man. Come on. This is Tampa. This is football town. Place should be rocking. Ah, the Washington Commanders. They've played good football for most of this year. In fact, they're playing their best football right now. They've won 5 in a row, folks, heading into this game. And my man, Jaden Daniels, out of LSU, is outstanding. Love it. So here we go. I've got the Commanders winning this game outright, and I got them plus +2.5. So I'm taking two underdogs today on the road, Green Bay and Washington, and the points. And then for tomorrow night, Minnesota at the Rams. That game is being played in Arizona. I think the Vikings are hurting after losing that game. But as Nick Saban often says, some of your best football, just look at Ohio State. Some of your best football is played after a humbling loss, and they got humbled at Detroit. I think the Vikings turn it around. They will be motivated, and they will win that game tomorrow night to advance to the divisional round of the playoffs. Give me Vikings minus -2 against the Rams. And then in the college football national championship, I've talked about it before, and we're going to go a little more in-depth at 11:30. I am taking Notre Dame plus +9.5, and I hate the 9.5. I'd rather it be 10, but I'll do it anyway. 9.5 for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish to keep that game close against the Buckeyes. Not sure if they'll win it, but they're better than getting blown out. They're a good team. Good defense, good special teams. We'll keep that game manageable. When we come back, some college basketball. Mark Mitchell, the Missouri Tigers, next. Well, any win in the SEC is a big win these days. It is far and away the best conference in college basketball. I think they could get 12, maybe 13 teams in the NCAA tournament. It is that good. And yesterday, Mizzou outlasted Vanderbilt 75-66. That Vanderbilt team's getting votes in both national polls, and they gave Mizzou all they could handle. But Mark Mitchell helped Missouri pull away for victory yesterday at Mizzou Arena, sold out Mizzou Arena in Columbia, and the Tigers are now 13-3, 2-1 in the SEC. Mitchell led Mizzou with 19 points and 7 rebounds, and he joins us now live on KMOX. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing great. I am here with your pal. It is Ken Dubinsky, and he joins us by way of Haystack. This is Haystack Sourcing Solutions President, Ken Dubinsky. Ken, it's great to have you, my longtime friend, in studio.
Thanks, Tom. Great to be here. Appreciate it. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing really well.
Well, it's great to have both of you. We have a special announcement before we get into talking some hoops, Mark. Let's get down to business. NIL is part of college athletics today, and the opportunity to be able to pull in some resources for you, for your family, for the health of college athletics. We have seen a lot of players benefit from this. And Ken, we have a very special affiliation now between Mark and yourself and St. Louis consumers.
It's been a lot of fun. A number of people have seen the items we've done at Schnucks with the various Mizzou athletes, start up with Luther's Chips and a ton of other items. Schnucks has been a great partner, and they stepped up again for what I am very pleased to announce is Mark Mitchell's Spicy Queso Hoops. They are available starting this week. And, Mark, I know we had some fun this week as you you had a number of your teammates try him, and you just posted a video on all your socials, and it has been a real pleasure working with you on this and really excited to get this out into the market.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys for what you guys have done. You know, the tips turned out better than I could imagine. My teammates actually love them. They come in my room taking bags the last couple of days. Everyone at the facility, you know, they're really good, really tasty, and I'm just thankful for this opportunity.
I'm going to have a little crunch here if you don't mind. Oh, they're good. Very good. I'd like to have those with a little cold beverage on the side there while I'm watching some hoops. Mark, really good. So the players took well to it, and you're pretty excited about it, huh?
Yeah, they have. You know, the last couple of days, they've been eating them a lot. You know, Ant and Scoob ate like 2-3 bags the last couple of days. Coach Summer has been asking for some more. So, yeah, they're really good. They're better than I could even imagine. Just the product, the design, the taste, everything is just almost perfect.
Spicy queso. Ooh, there is some kick to it. I like it a lot. They're little hoops. So on the back of the bag is you dunking through one of the hoops. I like it.
I'm proclaiming him the first person in the history of food to slam dunk on his own product.
Definitely.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I want to give a quick shout out to our designer, Craig Swoboda. Had a great idea to do that on there, and Craig's done a great job with all of our products, and want to give him some props, but really excited with how the product came out, the taste, the package itself is great, and again, it'll be at all Schnucks stores, also at top convenience stores around the city. Look for them on the old Vienna racks all over. And excited to get these going and have Tiger fans have a new snack.
Well, that's awesome. And you worked with, you know, a number of people, including, you know, as you mentioned, Luther Burden. You've got his Red Hot Riplets, but those are the Vienna Honey Barbecue Red Hot Riplets that my daughter Audrey absolutely loves. Anytime we see Luther in the store, we grab those.
Good to see.
It's fun, isn't it? I mean, what does it mean to you? I know that everybody seems to have an opinion about NIL, but what does it mean, do you think, when you see the overall picture right now of what's going on with these student athletes?
It really has been a ton of fun for me. I mean, lifelong Missouri fan, as you know, and it's been great being hopefully to help the program in my own little way, and hopefully the players have a lot of fun with it. And I do feel good that this is really the true meaning of NIL, really paying them for their name, image, and likeness. And again, this is kind of a unique way to do it that I think Mizzou has certainly been ahead of the game in a lot of the ventures with name, image, and likeness, and hopefully this is another advantage and lets a guy like Mark get his name out there and let Tiger fans get to know him a little bit better off the field, off the court as well.
Mark, we all know about the Duke brand, and we saw you at Duke. You were a two-year starter at Duke. You are a McDonald's All-American, and your story is great, but you came to Mizzou. Do you feel like part of that was being able to come home since you're a Kansas City native?
I mean, yeah, definitely. Obviously, being closer to home was definitely a factor in my decision. You know, just being from Kansas City, I know about the Mizzou culture, the fan base, how much love they just have for their athletic programs. You know, I felt that love, obviously, right when I committed. Just since I've been here, it's been overwhelming. You know, the fans have been great. Just the support that we get each and every game has been really special, and better than I could imagine.
Pretty cool to have your own snack, but also to have a place on this basketball team. I think this team's pretty good. I mean, I went to the Bragging Rights game. I was with you, Ken, watching it. They look like an SEC team. I mean, they have the length. They have the shooting ability. They are strong on the boards. And, Mark, you have all of those things. I'm enamored with your game. I love watching you play. How would you describe your game? When you are at your best, what is Mark Mitchell on the floor?
I think just showing off my versatility, you know, obviously with my size and athleticism and skill. I think I just play a little bit everywhere on the court. You know, Coach Gates asked me to do a lot of different things, and I just kind of plug and play, do what the team needs me to do, and just play all over the court and just impact the game in a lot of different ways.
And you did that yesterday with your, as I mentioned, 19 points and 7 rebounds. You also have a team that it seems to be filled with versatile players. I mean, you have, you know, Gray is obviously the big boy who can get rebounds. Grill, who I don't think gets enough credit for his overall game, but he certainly can shoot from the outside. But you have a number of teammates and some depth, I feel like. How would you describe your team right now?
Yeah, I think we're just a bunch of hard-playing guys. Obviously, the skill level and versatility is something that speaks for itself. You know, having guys with size and skill, something I think Coach Gates wants in his program. You know, obviously him coming from Florida State and having that model player that they had there, I think we have some of the similar things here. I don't think we have any missing pieces. You know, I think we have a little bit of everything, shooters, scorers, facilitators. You know, I think we have a chance to be really good. We have a good season so far. I think we're only going to keep getting better.
And I'm right about the SEC being the best conference in the country. I'm sure you would back me up on that. It's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, every single night you're going to have your hands full, but so are they with you.
Yeah, absolutely. No question. I mean, obviously, I think the numbers speak for itself. The resumes of all the teams in the league have been really good this year. And, you know, there's no easy games. You know, you can't take your foot off the gas for anyone. Anyone can get beat any night. And I think we've seen that so far in the league. So we're just going to keep going, keep preparing, and stay prepared each and every game.
What is Gates like to play for? We hear the stories about him not only being a good game coach, but just to those other 22 hours of the day where we don't see you all. What a father figure he is, and a caring person he is to you as a human.
Yeah, most definitely. I think Coach Gates, obviously, he loves on us hard, on and off the court. That sometimes that's not always him just being your best friend, but him getting on you, him showing you love. You know, he says love is discipline, and I think something that's really real, something that he's shown us. Obviously, he loves us on the court, off the court. Not just talking about basketball all the time, but really just knowing us off the court, being ingrained in our lives and getting to know us as people rather than just basketball players.
And one last thing for me, Mark, in terms of basketball and the atmosphere, I've been to Mizzou Arena, you know, since it was built. I was at Hearn Center when I was a little kid all the way through. I followed it. I've been to Cameron as well. I mean, Cameron's great. I mean, it's the best student section I think I've ever seen in terms of creativity, and of course they put them right on top of the court. But the sheer volume of a place like Mizzou Arena, when it's full and that place is rocking, that student section is enormous, those steep bleachers, what is that like as a player to feel that? I'm sure that Kansas game would be the top of the line for you so far.
Yeah, it was really special. You know, you could feel just the atmosphere, the energy from the students, you know, and just, you know, most of them kids being here just from being Missouri, Illinois, Kansas type of kids, you know, they have that love and that pure just passion for Mizzou hoops. It's something they probably felt their whole lives. And I think we can feel that we're on the court with just their energy and how much they want us to win and just giving us that support and give us an extra boost that really helps us in those times.
And we talk a lot, Ken, about Eli Drinkwitz and what he's done with the football program. And we know that football drives revenue to the university, and the stadium is under a renovation. NIL money is coming in. There's a lot of support. But how do you see just overall the growth of basketball right now? Where do you see Dennis Gates, for that matter, athletic director Laird Veach, the NIL collective, all working together to build basketball back to what it once was?
I tell you, I've been a Mizzou fan, obviously lifelong, as I know you, and I don't know that I've ever felt as good about the combination of football and basketball together as I do now. And that goes back a lot of years and a lot of great years in basketball with Norm and everything. But to have both programs in as good a shape with Coach Gates and Coach Drink, I just feel really good. I think basketball in particular, Coach Gates has a tremendous – I mean, the recruiting class he brought in this year, both the freshman class and the transfer class, are both among the best in the country. And he just seems to have great momentum, and seeing him with the kids, like you said, you can tell it's a very special relationship. And the kids that he has are really good kids, and obviously Mark is a shining example of that, great on and off the court. And I just feel great about the momentum he's got going, and look forward to this year and beyond.
It was pretty fun being part of that game against Illinois, even though you lost the game. That was a taste of bragging rights and what that's all about, Mark. I'm sure that as a Kansas City kid, you didn't make a ton of trips over to St. Louis, but you're familiar with St. Louis, and seeing it firsthand like that had to have been a good time.
Yeah, it was great. Obviously, it's a unique atmosphere, you know, being in a neutral site, playing a rivalry game, the stadium being split 50-50. It was just a great experience. Obviously, we lost the game, but I think it was a good game. You know, we fought hard, obviously, had some mistakes there down the stretch, but I think it was just a great atmosphere, great environment. It's something that you come to Mizzou for, and I'm glad we just keep that going throughout the years and for the years to come.
Well, there's a lot to come, I know, for Mizzou and the SEC schedule, and with this product, Snack Fanatics, Mark Mitchell's Hoops, Spicy Queso Flavored Rings. So these are like little fried onion rings is the shape of them, but it's a unique spicy queso flavor, and they are really good. I'm going to be eating these during the break. Ken, where can people get them, Schnucks?
At all Schnucks statewide, all across Missouri, as well as, again, convenience stores on the old Vienna racks. But, again, just want to say shout out to Schnucks. They've been a great partner on these Mizzou items and continue to step up with this one. So go get them, and look forward to Tiger fans enjoying them throughout the season.
Fun. We got to talk some snacks and some hoops with Mark Mitchell. And thank you for doing this, Mark and Ken, for putting this together and coming on Sports on a Sunday morning. It's really been a pleasure. Have a great rest of your day, and thanks for doing this on a Sunday. We appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you guys.
Thanks a ton, Tom. And
thank
Mark.
You. Mark Mitchell, the Missouri Tigers. Go grab a bag of these. I'll be saying, oh, you gave me two of them. All right, I'll take it. And some Burton chips as well. All right. I'm all over it. Our producer's Drew Young. I'm Tom Ackerman. We're going to give him this bag also because he works hard over there. He needs some of that to fire him up. We will take a break. When we come back, we're going to get fired up. Wait till you hear this next guest. Jim Powers is instant energy, and he will be talking about Ohio State, Notre Dame, and the national championship 1 week from tomorrow. He also has received a major award from MSHA, the Missouri State High School Athletic Association has awarded Jim for his years of coverage and dedication to high school sports. By the way, a couple of huge St. Louis Stars on that Notre Dame team that we're going to talk to Jimmy about next on KMOX. That was fun. I'm enjoying these Mark Mitchell Hoop Spicy Queso flavored rings. And I got a bag for you, Drew. My daughter Audrey's going to love these. This is like right up her alley. So we'll make sure she gets some of those before her big game today. She's got a basketball game today at 2 and 3. You got to get those queso rings. It's 11:32. Normally, we talk to John Mozeliak at this time. Mo, you can hear on the next show. Countdown to opening day has some interesting things to say about the trade market for Nolan Arenado. So, Jim Powers, I wouldn't say you have big shoes to fill. You can slide right in there and bring it on KMOX. I know that. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and yeah, you know what? Big shoes, holy smokes. I'm just honored to be filling in these shoes here this morning.
It's great to have you on KMOX. You're no stranger to broadcast. You've done, hundreds, thousands of games in your career, calling basketball, football, and beyond. I've worked with you on college football. We did it for a number of years in the Missouri Valley Conference. You continue to follow that FCS football, which I really enjoy your coverage. You're on Twitter and have been for years at High School Sports Caravan, which you have done for Fox 2 and beyond for many years. Your high school coverage, before we talk about Notre Dame and Ohio State and the matchup on January 20th, which I know you're amped up for, I want to first congratulate you on an award you received from MSHA, the Missouri State High School Athletic Association, for your years of service to high school sports. Tell us about that honor and how you feel about it.
I received a letter back in late September. The name of the award is the Mal Mays Distinguished Service Award. And for those that don't know, Mal has been a longtime member of MSHA as their attorney, and he just does so many great things for our student athletes here in the state. And, you know, this award, there's many names that have received this award, and to have my name with them is just absolutely unbelievable. If somebody would have asked me 20 years ago when I moved here to St. Louis from Northeast Ohio, if I would have won something like this, I would have said, absolutely not. You've lost your mind. I just cover the kids. I cover the coaches. And, you know, that's what it's all about. I mean, when I first moved here, high school coverage wasn't that good. And now you look at how it's exploded over the last 20 years, the different outlets, the different venues. And, you know, I think that I've had a little bit of a part in helping amplify that high school coverage here in the St. Louis area and in the state of Missouri, which is, you know, very fulfilling to me because the kids deserve it. They work their tails off. The coaches work hard, the athletic directors. You know, it's just something that I felt we needed to kind of improve upon, and we've done such a terrific job with it. And now you see all the outlets doing stuff, and it makes it really, really good to see.
Well, it's great for not only the families who follow, but the schools who put so much, the officials that put so much, everybody, the volunteers. There are so many people involved in so many games on a daily basis throughout the St. Louis area that deserve that coverage, and you have provided that. There are others who do a really nice job in this area, but to have you awarded and honored is very special and very well-deserved. Before we talk about this matchup, Ohio State and Notre Dame featuring two high-level St. Louis products, let me ask you just overall, just concentrating on football now, the level of football, you know, we talk about St. Louis as a baseball town, a hockey town. We know it's history in basketball with Jason Tatum currently and Bradley Beal leading the way when it comes to big names. But this is, make no mistake about it, a football town that gets raided by programs all over the country, doesn't it, Jim?
Yeah, without a doubt. And we've seen this turn maybe over the last 10 years to where, you know, back then, you know, St. Louis was a stop. It wasn't one of those high on the top, you know, spots because there were some great kids. Now you look at where St. Louis is, it's must. You have to come here. If you're Ryan Day, if you're, you know, when Nick Saban was at Alabama, you know, if you're those guys, St. Louis is one of your first stops. And you see what Marcus Freeman has done in making inroads here to the St. Louis area. We have done such a great job, and I credit the coaches for this. The coaches have really embraced the fact that we've got great kids. We've got great student athletes, and they're getting them ready for the next level. They're getting them prepared. They're getting them fundamentally sound. They're doing all the right things, and that's what it's all about. If you get these kids and you put them in great positions, that's going to give them ultimate success at the next level. The one thing that I'm a little concerned about is how the transfer portal is kind of affecting high school recruiting a little bit, because a lot of coaches have come out and said they're going to hit the portal first before they hit the high schools. And so I'm hoping a balance can kind of be struck a little bit, because it's a shame that some of these high school kids that are having terrific careers and have done terrific things may not get to their college of choice initially. I think they'll eventually get there, but the transfer portal has kind of thrown a little bit of a monkey wrench into it.
That's an interesting perspective, Jim. You do see right now featured Ohio State, Notre Dame playing in the CFP National Championship on January 20th. Two big-time players that you just mentioned, Marcus Freeman, was able to get. One of them, running back Jeremiah Love out of CBC, and then right there with him making another big play, the interception that sealed the game, Christian Gray out of DeSmet. What two high-caliber players on that Irish team, two of many at the Division I level.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, a lot of people didn't think that Jeremiah was going to play on Thursday night because he got dinged up, you know, in the game previous. And so, you know, there was a little bit of doubt, but, you know, in some of the things that his teammates said was, hey, he's going to go. And if he goes, we got to make sure we do what we need to do. And you know, the job that he's done has been terrific. It's been a lot of fun to watch him. And that defensive play at the end, my gosh, you know, talk about just an incredible interception. We saw that when he played at the Smet. I mean, he is just such a dynamic player. And those are just a couple of the kids that have really done a great job. You look at Ryan Wingo for Texas, you know, and, you know, that big catch he made to get him a first down, had a nice rush. I mean, there is just a plethora of great high school kids that are doing fantastic things at the next level. And now it's going to be really cool to see Jeremiah and Gray play on the biggest stage in college football here on a week tomorrow.
And then you have the junior linebacker at North Dakota State, Logan Kopp, who had three sacks, three interceptions, a forced fumble on the year, and helped bring his team to the national championship. They beat Montana State. North Dakota State wins it all, so they're at every level.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, I have a chance to be down in Frisco for the FCS championship. I moderate all the press conferences. And, you know, I had a chance to talk to Logan. And it's so cool to see, you know, a local kid on that level and the way he's done things. He had a key interception in the South Dakota State semifinal that got them to where they needed to be. And then he had some big plays in the national championship game, you know, and he's had a terrific career and he's already announced he's coming back to North Dakota State. He wants one more shot at it. And you look at North Dakota State and South Dakota State and what the Missouri Valley Football Conference has done, Tom. I mean, 12 of the last 14 FCS championships have come out of the Missouri Valley Football Conference. You don't see that. You just don't see that. And you're seeing a lot of the local kids that have an opportunity to play at the FCS level. Last year, Amir Johnson played for South Dakota State, won a national championship. Logan Kopp, this year, a young man from Lindbergh who's just terrific, he wins it. So it's really cool to see at every level our local kids doing a terrific job.
This is Jim Powers, who's been covering St. Louis high school football, basketball, and beyond for many, many years, joining us on KMOX. There was no bigger strip of a football, scoop and score, then Jack Sawyer, who took it away from Quinn Ewers and ran it the distance for Ohio State to give them their lead that they did not relinquish. They won against Texas. They advanced to the national championship. Jim Powers from Northeast Ohio, how are you feeling when the Buckeyes walked away with that victory?
I think a lot of people heard a lot of yelling and screaming when Jack Sawyer had the play of his career, you know, at the end of that game. Hey, you know what? Texas is a really good team. You know, I was hoping, you know, Ohio State would get out to a fast start. They got the touchdown, you know, but I think that game flipped on its head when Travion Henderson got the screen pass and goes 75 yards with 20 seconds left in the first half. I think that's where that whole game kind of flipped a little bit, because instead of, you know, a 7-7 tie going into halftime, now you're giving Ohio State all the momentum in the world leading into the halftime locker room, and then they get the ball to start the half. So, I mean, I think just the plays that Ohio State made, and talking to a real good friend of mine yesterday, you know, Jack Sawyer is never going to pay for anything ever again in Columbus, you know, after that play. And I know a lot of people are questioning, you know, Sark's play calls, you know, in that situation. You know, but you got to remember, Ohio State's defense, how many times have we seen them with their backs against the goal line this year and have come up with stops? And have stopped teams from getting into the end zone. And this was just another example of what the Ohio State defense has done. And I've said this since, you know, the Buckeyes lost to the team up north, which I will still never say their name. I think that was the wake-up call. I think they have played angry. They know what's on the line. And they've been just playing some of the best football that I've seen an Ohio State team play in a long, long time.
Jim Powers, who's been covering high school sports here, the High School Sports Caravan, for many years, joining us on KMOX. And on the offensive side, Ohio State, Texas did a great job of taking away Jeremiah Smith. They really did.
Yeah.
And, you know, they found a way to keep him out of the game. Do you see Notre Dame, and they've got a good secondary, Jim, can they do the same thing? Will they use that strategy?
And you know what, though? You look at the Ohio State receiving room. When you've got, you know, Ibuka, you've got G. Scott, you've got Smith, then you can go to Carnell Tate, who stepped up in a big fashion. You know, Texas took away Jeremiah. They were doubling him. You know, they were bracketing him front and back, and that was opening things up for Carnell Tate. And so I think you've got to pick your poison. Do you let Jeremiah get after you and try and break some long stuff, or do you kind of double him once again and let everybody else try and beat you? That was the situation that Texas, you know, put Ohio State in. But with that receiving room, and I'll say this, the way Will Howard has played the last three games, he has not made very many mistakes. He has managed the game. He's putting them in great situations. And I tell you what, that 4th-and-2 run that he had, if he doesn't, you know, trip over the 20-yard line, he's in the end zone. And I don't even think we're talking about the Jack Sawyer scoop and score. But that receiving room is terrific. Notre Dame's going to have their work cut out for them in trying to figure out who do you want to stop? Do you want to stop Smith? Do you want to stop Ibuka? Or do you want to let them try and do what they do? And if they let them do that, I think it could be just like we saw in the Oregon game when they just went absolutely nuts, you know, getting the ball to the outside.
Well, it's going to be a tough task for sure for the Irish next Monday in Atlanta, the matchup against Ohio State. Jim Powers, congratulations on your award for Misha, and thank you for joining us on KMOX. Good luck to your Buckeyes on the 20th.
Thanks so much, my friend. By the way, I heard your pick, and I disagree with 100%. You should be taking the Buckeyes no matter what the spread is. That's all I'm saying.
I know you heard. I took Irish plus 9.5. Appreciate you, man. Jimmy Powers with us on KMOX. Great to hear his voice on the radio. We're going to take a break. The big dog, Bernie Mickles, will get his picks coming up next at 11:45. This is Sports on a Sunday Morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Ben swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
We welcome in Bernie Mickles, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. Good morning, Bernie.
What do you know, Mr. Tom Ackerman?
What's up, man? I love talking to you on these Sundays. We're going to talk some baseball here in just a second. But first, let me get your picks for today. We've got Broncos at Bills, Packers at Eagles, and the Commanders at the Bucks. Who you got?
Well, I think the Bills are going to win, but I think it's going to be closer than people think. And I don't know if you want me to talk about it in context of the point spread, but the thing of it is Denver's defense is truly, truly, truly outstanding. And Sean Payton, even as the coach of the Broncos, has had a tremendous record against the spread when he takes his team on the road. And he's also had a really good record against good teams on the road. So, to me, this sets up as where Buffalo's really going to have to fight for this, and the point spread 7.5. I sent my brother some information because he can wager legally in the state of Maryland. We're not quite there yet. We will be later this year, and I told him the reasons why to take Denver in the points. So I won't go over all that, but I gave you the basics as far as the second game. What's interesting to me is that Philadelphia is an obvious choice because Green Bay really, really, really stalled out late in the season. They were kind of a mess. However, they kind of did that last year, and they came into the playoffs and thrashed Dallas and then almost upset San Francisco. And I think people are overlooking them a little bit from the standpoint of, like, you know, this isn't going to be like a Steelers-Ravens game like last night. I think they're going to fight Philadelphia too. But I think Philadelphia wins. The one that intrigues me is really the Commanders at the Tampa Bay Bucks because of you have Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, and there are some trend stuff. And let me just read you one thing. I apologize for the not having it up here. So Washington makes a lot of big plays through the air. And road teams that are averaging about 7.5 or more yards per pass attempt have been very, very good in the playoffs. 39-19-2, that's 67% since 2004. Plus, Daniels can run the ball. Also, this number 3 versus number 6 matchup has a history of upsets. Road teams are 14-8 straight up and 17-5, 77% against the spread. So I know you. I know you didn't sign on for having me trying to be Jimmy the Greek, but I just find this stuff really interesting. So I just wanted to pass that information along. I think the Commanders got a chance to win it outright.
I do too. I agree with you on that. I like those picks a lot. I think it's going to really be an interesting day, without question. Bernie Miklas is with us. Bernie, we do the Gas House Gang throughout the week. We talk Cardinal baseball most of the show. I have to admit, I'm going to raise my hand and admit to the camera here on YouTube that I have run out of fatigue. I'm ready for this thing to be over. Well, let's go. I mean, can we wrap this thing up? Is he a Cardinal or not? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know what to say anymore because I think to all of our credit, not just we gentlemen in the Gas House Gang, but, you know, St. Louis media overall, including some bloggers that I really respect. I mean, we have sussed this thing out. We have laid it out. We have discussed every single variable. We have discussed all these different scenarios, you know, a million times collectively. And I don't know that there's really anything else to say because we've been through it over and over and over again. I think, Tom, it really does come down to this. And this is repeating, as you know, what we already know. It does come down to, you know, all right, what is going to happen if Alex Bregman sounds elsewhere? Do the Red Sox spring into action? I don't know. But at least that what I would think would increase the possibility. There's been talk about how there are other teams that are inquired to the Cardinals about Arenado. Normally, we wouldn't think anything of those teams because we think, well, he would never go there. But his agent's letting certain media people know that, he's got an open mind about some other places now. So are we talking Seattle? Are we talking Detroit? Are we talking Kansas City? I mean, I have no idea. Let me ask you, though, if I could, because I think what it comes down to is, like, what's your gut feeling? Will he be a Cardinal when this team gets ready to start the regular season or not?
My gut is that he will be elsewhere. I think they're going to find a way to deal him. And you know what? If he comes back as a Cardinal, I'd be fine with it because I think that they would deal him at the deadline and they might get a better deal and he may have more options. But I think Boston, I think it's possible Detroit. That's what my gut says, but that percentage is dropping. I mean, I'm down to like 65-35 where I was at 90-10 not long ago. I mean, I really think that it's getting close. And if he does come back, Bernie, it's not the end of the world. I mean, I know that everybody who is ready for these prospects would say that it blocks Nolan Gorman. Not necessarily. I mean, you would have your anchor at third and you'd have a bat in the middle of the order. He might not be playing for a World Series contender, but he might be in the second half.
Yeah, I agree. That's certainly a scenario. And the one thing that I go back to from time to time, even though I say up front, again, it's unrealistic, but the Cardinals don't have to start Arenado, you know, 140 games or so at third base. They just don't have to. They're under no obligation to. So my point is if they would want to start him fewer times, maybe DH him here and there, they could still have a way to play, make sure Nolan Gorman gets pretty good amount of time at third base, also playing some second base and also DHing. But the reason I say it's unrealistic is because I think it would make it very awkward in the clubhouse. It would make it very awkward for Ollie Marmol. It would make it awkward for everybody. I mean, it's not like Arenado has no value. He has value. He's just not what it used to be. But he's still a plus player, and he's still a really plus player defensively. And he still is technically slightly above average offensively. So it's not like this guy is like 100%, 75% liability. He can still help you win games. So in that context, it would be tough to put him on the bench a lot. Maybe a little more than you would, but it would be tough to do that. So I recognize that. But I'm just pointing out, you know, he's got the no trade card and the Cardinals have the lineup card, you know. They're in charge of that, right?
That's right. They're also in charge of who's running the show. And in our final minute here, I'll read a tweet that someone sent me. When will Bloom be featured on Sports on a Sunday Morning? I think most fans are tired of the Mo Love, need a perspective of the future. I appreciate the message. It's not Mo Love. He's the president of the baseball operation, so he has the 11:30 slot and he answers questions. I can assure you that we have requested Chaim Bloom, and we would hope to get the first radio interview when he's available.
Well, that's exactly right. And even in my experience, you're speaking from the sports director of KMOX standpoint and how the station approaches things with regards to interview requests and things like that. And, of course, you're all over it. And I would think his first interview would be with KMOX. But every time I do a video on YouTube, the Bernie Miklas show on YouTube, just a quick plug so you don't have to do it.
Yes.
Every time it seems like I get three or four comments. It's like, well, I don't understand why Bloom's not running everything now. Listen, it's okay to feel that way. But my point is we all get so many questions about this, and I'm not sure why, because the Cardinals made it perfectly clear how they were going to do 2025. And Chaim Bloom wanted to do this because he thought the minor league rehabilitation was so massive of a project, it deserved his undivided attention. So I'm not sure why people are still grabbing onto this thing as if suddenly he's going to be running things like by May 20th or whatever. It's just not going to happen. So right. The reality may not be what we like, but it's time to accept the reality. It's not going to change. He will take over when this season is over, and he will be on KMOX at that point.
Bernie Miklas is on KMOX Sundays at 11:45. Thank you, pal.
We'll talk tomorrow on the Gas House Gang. Thank you, as always, my brother.
Yes, we will. Noon on the KMOX Sports YouTube page. The news is next.